It's the moment all of Canberra has waited for.
Hello and welcome to the round 24 edition of the Point of Difference podcast, aka the Pod Pod. And as you can hear from the thousands of Canberran fans with their Viking clap, tonight is a two-hander. It is a return of Tubes and Grazi special back from our days. Tubes hosting a radio show at the University of Canberra circa 2008. And it's us back together tonight for the Pod Pod. How are you, Tubes?
Yeah, g'day, mate. I'm good. The fan, they've been calling for it. They've been calling for it all year. I think both of us are coming after two pretty mediocre weekends in Supercoach and a bit bruised and battered. But we got up tonight for the fans. So hopefully we can put a good pod together.
Hopefully. I'm already offended though. My weekend was fine. I got a 12:40. That's pretty good.
Oh yeah,
don't
sorry.
Try and, what do you get, Tubes?
I probably just assume that you don't have a good week most weeks, to be fair, and I'm just bucketing you in with me. I don't even know if I looked at your score. I had a measly 11:38 where it just felt like everything went wrong for me. Scotty Drinkwater let me down with a 49 when it felt like every other fullback was going well. Just couldn't find a winner on the weekend.
No, you could say, Chiefs, tonight that we love on the pod board using the phrase coming in hot. I think tonight we're both coming in cold. You off the back of a pretty poor score. I was literally on the Vic steam bath minutes before we started recording, so my voice sounded as least nasally as possible. So apologies to any listeners if the voice isn't sounding great. But yeah,
bit of Noah Lyles about you today, just lifting, like for the bronze.
I don't understand that reference.
Did you not watch the Olympics? Noah Lyles, he got the bronze medal in the 200 with the
when. Oh, okay. I knew he won gold in the 100. I wasn't down with his 200 meter statistics. Oh, yeah, I'm more of a swimming man, Tubes.
Yeah, but, fair enough.
Tubes, before we get into, we're going to structure the show a little bit differently tonight. A couple of different segments than what we normally do, and that's just because it's the time of year where the going through positional analysis probably not quite as interesting. I think a lot of people have their team set. There's a little bit less up in the air at this time of year. But before we get into all of that, Tubes, do you want to give us a bit of an update on the Pod Pod group prize?
Yeah, so Pod Pod Unlimited group. It's nearly obviously coming towards the end of the year. Sponsored by Malbad Bloodstock, who are absolutely killing it for 2.5% share in a racehorse. And we've had another leader swap. Quinton from the Dead Hand Gang, he's had a huge week on the weekend. I think he's had a 1,400 and something, like just unbelievable. And he's back up to first place in the Pod Pod Unlimited. And I think he's back up to eighth overall. So still a chance of taking out the big prize with the run home. So shout out to Quinton.
Yeah, I think he had a couple of nice little pods in his team on the weekend, Quinton. I know he had Herbie Farmworth who had a nice score, and he's not a very well-owned player amongst that top tier. And, Jeeves, one thing we might talk about tonight is some of those key pods who can set you apart for this last five rounds, because they can make a big difference.
I'm looking at his team now. He's got to be a good chance. I mean, he's really pulled one out on the weekend because he obviously the Roosters had the bye. He has Watson, Crichton, Dom Young, Manu, and Tedesco all on the bye last week, and he's pulled out a 14.
That's huge.
And he's pulled out a 14.68 without any of those players. So
far out.
He's pretty well set up for the run home now, I'd say, without knowing his trades, etc.
Well, just while we're on the topic of how people are going overall, probably worth shouting out the other guys in the Pod Pod who are all doing really nicely overall, Tubes. We're the lowest ranked, you just me significantly. Don't want to put you in the same basket as me. But Matt's moved into the top 200 now. He had a pretty big score, I think a 1350 plus on the weekend. So he had a nice score and he moved himself snugly inside the top 200. Chris had a pretty par week, not too bad, around that 1250 mark, and he's just outside the top 200.
No, he's still in it. Max is 162, Chris is 195 overall.
How good's that?
So they're flying. Yeah, you know Matt's having a pretty good week when he was complaining on Saturday afternoon that he didn't captain Tommy Turbo but it wasn't too bad for him apparently because he still happened to own him. So he had a nice 1360 overall. Shout out to Pod OG groups as well. Harry's Potter, who's in our draft comp and in the finals this week, and Buzzer's Babes. They're floating around the top 1,000 as well after some strong weeks as well. So, yeah, it's everyone's a bit up and about, I think, after the weekend apart from me, it seems.
Yeah, and Chubbs, even you head-to-head-wise, you're just out of all your head-to-head legs now. It was a disaster
of a weekend. I lost my draft game by like 300 points. And in Classic, I basically lost every single head-to-head that I was in, and I'm pretty much knocked out of them all. There was a couple of leagues where I finished top, but they're worth only pride and glory, not any financial incentives in them. So all the ones that mattered, I'm gone from.
No good. All right, well, let's get into the positional analysis now, Tubes.
What about Andrew King? This game, well, the juggler's come out at Brookie.
And we're going to start at hooker, where there's not really too much to discuss. I think we are probably Tubes in agreement that if you own Watson, you're happy. If you own Grant, you're happy. If you own Appy, you're happy. Like, you just stick with it as it is. What I'm interested to know, Tubes, is there's a few people out there still decent ownership numbers behind Jaden Brayley and Brendan Hands as people's second hooker. I'm interested, Tubes. One of the things I find the benefit of this time of year is that when you have a strong, deep squad, the VC loophole becomes much more advantageous every single week. For those people out there who are holding Jaden Brayley or Brendan Hands, Brayley got a mid-20s on the weekend. I think Hands was in the low 40s, but that's a good week for Hands compared to how he's been going recently. How important is it to trade those guys and activate your loophole?
It's a tough one. I think it's pretty important, depending, though, on the number of trades that you had left. I certainly wouldn't be using my last two or three trades probably on it. But if you had enough, like an example is Cleary's playing Thursday night this week, I think, versus the Storm. He's a perfect VC candidate. If he goes off and gets 150, you really don't want one of those in your team and having to take an AE on that, because then it almost just doesn't feel worth it to potentially loop in those scenarios. So it's insane, all of that. You'd probably need 4+, maybe 5+ trades to consider nothing, because it's at best it's probably going to be the difference between what maybe at best 100, 150 points for the run home.
Yeah.
Like, so it could be worth a trade, but you'd want to have a few.
Yeah, no, I think I'm with you, Tubes. I reckon, though, those scenarios, if it's a 150+, I think it's a pretty clear you just do it, even if you have those guys. I find it more interesting for those scores around that 110-ish mark, where, like, it's a really good one. If you have a strong squad, you probably loop, depending on who your other guys' matchups are. But if you're holding those guys, it becomes a little bit difficult. So, yeah, no, interesting. I think I'm with you, though, Tubes. For 4 or 5 trades, I'd consider it. Anything less, I think you just have to roll with it now. The trades are going to be more important. Front row forward, Tubes, you prepared the run sheet for us today. You've just got don't buy any front row forwards. Any elaboration on that?
I just think it's a bit of a waste at this time of the year, really, for any front row forward. So obviously Mitch Barnett seemed to get the job done with a try, I think, on the weekend, with a 76 with a try for those that brought him in for Haas. But, I mean, that's, 76 with a try isn't probably ideal. Joseph Tarpany, 87. I think he had a try assist, line break assist as part of that. I just don't think you want to be spending any trades on front row forwards anymore. Whoever you're sort of running, whatever that three-person rotation is, it's probably just something to carry for the run home now.
Oh, there's still 13% of like the top tier of Supercoach players, that top 5%. 13% of them are still owning Payne Haas at the moment. So I wonder if that's just they don't have the trades to get rid of him, or they're waiting for the right thing, or they'll only trade if they have to. But to me, that's a lot of money left sitting on the pine every week. So if I had the trades, I still would like to move him on if it were me in that position.
And I think even then, like I feel like you'd be hoping you got a jewel, like you can bring down a Finu or something like that, and the second row is probably like I think it was talked about last week on the pod. Those second row, like Haas to a Crichton or something like that, is like they're the more favourable ones for me, I think.
Yeah. I do like Joe Tarpino, though. Like, he's watching him play. He's in strong form at the moment. Like, an 87 on the weekend in 44 minutes, including a sin bin. And, like, I know he got a try assist, but still pretty impressive. And he's starting to free up that offload a little bit at the moment, too. So,
two
try assists. I just don't mind Tarpino. I think he looks pretty up and about at the moment with how freely he's playing. Go. You good?
Oh, I was just going to say. And it's backed up. Like, you can say he had two try assists on the weekend, but he probably had two try assists because he is playing well and he's playing more freely as well.
Yeah.
Like, he's been in good form.
Let's go to second row forward tubes. You kind of segued into it when you mentioned him earlier. Angus Crichton, he's one that I know a lot of people were waiting for this round to get back in. I had the bye last week. A lot of people traded him before Origin. You don't own it at the moment, do you, tubes? The Gus bus? You're not on board?
No. Unfortunately, not.
Are you going to try to be, or is it just lost now?
I'm tossing up. So I've got a couple of trades left, and I'm tossing up not using any this week or just going for it and using both. I have Reece Walsh, so he's going to go. And I've got to make those decisions. But I'm basically, it's probably going to be down to Crichton or Lomax for me, and I've got to make that decision as to which one I'd rather.
What are you putting that decision down to? Is it depending on depth and positions? Are you looking – I mean, knowing YouTubes, you're just getting up going Lomax because you love upside so much. But
what's the pod, so I'm probably going Lomax, like, basically. But I think if – depends how you're going and where you're ranked and how many trades you got. Crichton's a number – a clear buy, but for me, I'm probably leaning Lomax over Crichton if they sort of two of your considerations of options.
And who would that mean, Tubes, in your second row that you'd be looking at playing on a weekly basis? Because I imagine plenty are in a similar boat.
So I got Fifita, Katoa, and Yo. I imagine a lot have Fifita, Katoa, and Ola. And then I've got Nicara as well, probably similar to a bunch, but Nicara is probably my fourth option there in the second row.
Yeah, okay. So still pretty strong. So you don't feel like you're missing out too much with those guys?
Nah. Just need Yo to kick some goals. I mean, I'd love to have Crichton, but it comes down to your trades at this time, unfortunately.
Yeah. I think he's clearly the best second rower and super coach with the form he's been in this year. But I tend to agree with YouTubes. If it was me in your position, I'd go Lomax as well. Maybe that's a little bit biased for me because I'm a fairly lowly ranked player. I'm only just inside the top 15,000 and I'll be looking for that big upside. Maybe my mindset will be different if I was sitting right up there. I'd be looking for a little bit more security potentially. But, yeah, I agree with you for the upside. And I think that other guys could easily match Crichton on the run home for sure. You got another rooster on our list. We're moving down to halfback now, Tubes. A man that you and I both owned at the start of the year, and we both sold at his absolute lowest price before he has bounced back massively. It's Sammy Walker.
Yeah. Bit of a Roosters theme this week, it feels like. I think he's clear-cut number two halfback option for the run home now with their run coming up. Also, a bit of a nice Tedesco insurance for those that I think there was like some large percentage of Tedesco owners that went him to Ponga last week, and but probably won't be using the trade to get Tedesco back. Walker's almost a bit of an insurance against that. It does probably feel a little bit luxury if you're down to your last few trades, but I think he's a great upgrade versus Jerome Hughes, or if you're sort of carrying a dead weight in 5'8 and you still got dill bags in halfback or some flexibility there. I think he's not just the second best halfback, but the second best half out of like the half and 5'8 positions for the run home.
Yeah, and their draw for that last 4 weeks, Parramatta, Titans, Raiders, Souths, is very nice. You can see him putting points on all of those teams potentially. I also think, Tubes, that if any Roosters do get rested, it's very, very unlikely to be Sammy Walker. Like, you'd have to think he plays all four of those games, injury aside. It's not like he's gone through an Origin campaign or something. The other thing that I don't mind about him, since round 5 when he got a score of 3, and that was injury affected, he only played 18 minutes that game, he has only gone sub 40 once for the rest of the year. That's pretty nice consistency out of Sammy Walker. He had a 39 in round 20. Other than that, has not gone below 40. And that goal kicking, I think, for the Roosters has elevated his floor pretty nicely. And just from an actual footy perspective, which I think impacts Supercoach as well, the big concern with the Roosters was always about how him and Luke Keary, who was the dominant man, it's just become so obvious now that Luke Keary's the backseat person, and that it's Sam Walker's team. So, Tubes, I agree with you. I think he'd be a really interesting pod to bring into this time of year, and I would absolutely love to own him.
Yeah, it certainly felt like they figured that out about round 8 just as we traded him, who was the clear dominant half for the year. Because it did take him a fair few rounds at the start of the year to really figure that out. They weren't playing well together at all.
Now the big question is, how does he go with the Chad next year? Maybe Chad becomes the dominant half for the Roosters next year.
I don't think that Chad might become the dominant half of the Newtown Jets. Or they're not still the Newtown Jets, are they? So the Sydney Roosters New South Wales Cup, I suppose.
Yeah, whoever the equipment
could you,
is.
He could be at the Coogee Dolphins by the end of the season.
Tubes, you got Munster on the run sheet at 5'8 there. I was so annoyed at you for bringing in Munster on the weekend. You and I had a chat on, I think it was probably Wednesday afternoon, and we spoke through, and by the end of that conversation, you were going, all right, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to bring in Munster. And then about 10 minutes before kick off on Thursday night, my phone buzzes. It just says, Tubes, I'm bringing in Munster. How are you feeling about that after your first week as a Munster owner?
Yeah, not very good. It had to come off last week against the Bunnies because their run home is not fantastic. Tough game against Penrith this week. He's still only 510K, but I couldn't advise to be buying him this week against the Panthers. But it's just so cheap, and he does just have such good pedigree. But, geez, the Storm looked awful on Thursday against the Bunnies. I really thought that they were going to towel them up, and the Bunnies turned up ready to be towed up, and the Storm just couldn't get their attack going.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's actually, they've looked a little bit worse since Munster came back. Like, it almost like they're in such a good rhythm with Jerome Hughes just being the dominant man and Wishart being the second fiddle. And I'm not saying that that's going to stay that way, but it does look like there's a few teething issues of just trying to figure out their roles with him coming back.
And even Harry, I feel, has like asserted some dominance post-Origin as well, with like a bit more ball playing, which again is not, he's a gun, so you want him doing that. But they just haven't found the balance between sort of the three of them. And then when Wishart comes through the middle, of exactly what that's going to look like. And Munster just didn't look good in general anyway, even if they were going to him more. So hopefully a big bounce back this week against the Panthers.
Yeah, and as the cliche goes, he does love it. That's the cliche. And I think actually a cliche backed up by stats. Someone crunched it, I remember, at the end of last season about his games top versus top 8 teams versus non-top 8 teams, and he was like literally averaged higher against top 8 teams. So you never know. He could turn it on. I think money for money, he's still nice and cheap. 510K, you're never going to get Cam Munster cheaper than that again. But, yeah, I'd be wary, especially they did mention when he came back, the Storm CEO, I can't remember his name off the top of my head, but he did speak about how they were going to manage his minutes on the run home as well, because obviously he's waiting for double hip surgery at the end of the season. James, this is prompted me just to go back to halfback for a moment. Jerome Hughes is still quite a highly owned player. I think he's in the 40% amongst the top 5% of Supercoach players. Should any of those people, if they've got 3-4 trades, should any of those people be tempted to just do him straight across to Sam Walker with that draw we mentioned?
If I had 4 trades, that would 100% be one of my trades this week. Wouldn't even blink at it. With someone with only 2 left, I don't feel luxury enough, but I think 4 or 5, it would definitely be one of my trades. I just feel like there's such good upside there. And as I said, also the Teddy insurance option. I'm pretty sure that's what Matt's thinking of doing. Not Hughes. He's got someone else, but bringing in Sam Walker. Yeah.
Interesting. How's he working that just via duels?
Yeah, little dry gray, I think, to Sammy Walker, I think is his play.
Love that. All right, nice. Well, let's go to centre wing now, Tubes. And I wanted to mention Dom Young first, because what an absolute treat for owners that Dom Young was named on the wing for the Roosters this week. I think there were kind of chatter that it could be a longer-term hamstring injury, but he's back after only 1 week. Obviously still the chance he drops out, but the good news is they are the third game of the round. So even if he does, owners will have plenty of time to make a change there if they need to. Bit of a surprise there, Tubes?
Massive. I think Matty Widler gave us the tip that he was out for 4 weeks, and his mail's been good all year. So I was very surprised to see him named. Even if he doesn't play this week, you wouldn't think that they're naming him and then he's out for another 3 weeks. So, it certainly made me rethink trading him out. And, thankfully they're, the second – third game of the round, so we'll know pretty early on if he's playing or not playing for the sit v starts. But I think that makes him a hold, given he was named now this week.
Oh, no question he's a hold.
Hold even if he doesn't play this week, but the fact that he was named.
Yeah, it's really good indications that even if he is a late player this week, he should be back the week after. And I don't think we need to mention the Roosters draw again and how good it is. He'd be a great one to play. Let's stick with the Roosters theme, Tubes. Like you said, it's the theme of the pod. Joey Manu is back. He came back in round 22 before the bye. Looked okay. Looked like he looked fit and playing freely, but didn't really translate into Supercoach points in a big way. Is he an option for people looking at a guy who is at pod levels of ownership purely because of that long-term injury he had? Is he one that you got your eye on, Tubes? You mentioned Lomax as someone you might bring in. Is there any temptation to get Manu over him with the Roosters run home?
It probably ties into the decision of what I'm doing with Reece Walsh. I think the big one for Manu is he's cheap. Like, is he 570K?
570.
Yeah. And so a Manu bring-in, I think, potentially gets me the cash to go Walsh to Teddy instead of Walsh to Ponga. That's my unique situation. But I just think Manu being 100K cheaper than Lomax, if it frees up the money that people might need to bring in a Crichton or to bring in a Teddy or to bring in someone that little bit more expensive, that's why I think he's like, if you asked me head-to-head who scores the most points, I'd probably say Lomax on the run home with their run. But I wouldn't be surprised if it's Manu and just a bit cheaper.
I think the other thing on Manu, Tubes, and this might be said as a hopeful James Tedesco owner, but I do think Teddy is a chance of a rest in these last 4 rounds, and that would most likely mean Manu fullback. And we've seen in the past what he's done at fullback. He's an absolute ball hog. He'll probably run for 300 metres, probably have 4 offloads at least and bust 8 tackles, and he'll be in for 100 points. So that would be one thing that if I was looking at bringing in maybe Manu v Lomax, that might be something that would maybe tip me slightly towards Manu. I think that would be pretty nice pod captaincy play if he was to get a fullback run on the way home. Has that interested you at all, Tubes?
It's a bit of a shoulda, coulda, though, like, isn't it? Like,
very.
I'd prefer not to get him and save the trade. And if he does get named at fullback, do it. I just don't think it's worth the risk to bring him in, under that hope if you're down to your last couple of trades.
Yep, fair enough. Fair enough, Tubes. So Lomax, then let's go to him. We've mentioned him probably more than anyone else on this pod so far. What you've mentioned, you think he's going to be a higher scoring centre wing option than Manu, and I imagine that you probably think that amongst most centre wings. What's the big selling point for you for Lomax if people bring him in this week?
I mean, outside of the fact he's averaging 78 for this year and has just been one of the dominant centre wingers, it's probably and breaking Kyle Flanagan's just been suspended for 4 weeks, which I don't know if that's good or bad, but I'd say potentially good. But it's their run. So this week they got the Titans, obviously coming off a 44-0 in the end against the Sharks. Then they got the Sharks, and they've been pretty leaky. I know they went well on the weekend, but Lomax will be up for that game at Wynn Stadium. Then they got Parramatta, and then they finish off with probably a must-win game against the Raiders. So I just feel with that run, goal-kicking and in for plenty of tries, he's probably the, one of the number one, winger, just about to for the run home.
Yeah, that's all well and good, Tubes. Can I try and launch a bit of a weak counter argument against Zach Lomax? Are you happy to hear it?
You can try.
Now, how's his upside at the moment? Like he had 200 plus scores from rounds 1 to 5. He had a massive 170 when he played against the Tigers in round 14. Outside of that, from round 6 to round 23, he's only gone above 90 once, and he is having a few scores under 50 in that time period as well. Is there a chance that playing for the Dragons, he just potentially won't get enough tries across the line and won't have those attacking stats to make him a really big guy to get as your pod for the run home, Tubes? Like, is he just solid?
Yeah, he's solidly averaging 78. I mean, three over 100s and four scores in the 90s is pretty good upside.
No, I just wonder if he's going to have those massive, massive scores in him. I don't know. I just think with the way the Dragons look, it looks like they're gritty, they're tough. And I know he's done it 3 times this year, but 2 of them were a long, long time ago and hasn't happened as consistently since. I don't think he's a bad buy. And obviously, he's averaging 78 for a reason. I just wonder if there's some centre wings out there that might have a little bit more upside in him that might be able to crack it. Like, what do you? How many times do you think he goes 100 plus for the run home? Like, would you think that he does it once?
Twice.
You reckon 200s for the run home?
Yeah.
I'd back him
even money that he does it once. Like, less. I'd say, he's over. Like, it's flat one. Like, I think he's going over one for sure. Not for sure, but I think he's going over one. So since he had 170 against the West Tigers, the following week he went 81 against Manly at 4 points. So, like, toughish game. He then played the Roosters, the Panthers, the Storm, and the Bulldogs. That was his last 4 NRL games outside of Origin since basically the Tigers game. So, like, I mean, I don't have the stats, but given how well Bulldogs have been defending this year, I'd say they're probably the 4 hardest matchups just about that you can probably come up against. He's averaged, I think, 60-odd in those 4 games, and his next 4 games I read out earlier. So I think he's come through the tough period he's ready to put in one or two big scores.
Yeah, I don't even really believe what I'm saying, Tubes. I was just trying to launch a counter argument. I think the draw point is a great one. And other than the Sharks, they are the 4 best defences in the comp. Sharks are above the Roosters and the Storm, but otherwise literally the 4 best defensive teams in the comp. And he still managed to crank out some pretty good scores. So I actually do agree with you. I was just trying to push something out there because I feel like we've been agreeing a lot this episode. I just want to have some negativity on the airwaves. All right, fullback, Tubes, and I think the man that you own that you brought in a few weeks ago is a bit of a pod who actually worked out pretty well for you, Tubes. Reece Walsh, you're seeing reports that hand injury he'd been playing through, he might be out for the year now.
Yeah, so they've got the bye this week anyway, so it was a considered drop regardless. And I won't spend too much time on him because I know he's a pod and not many people own him. But he played with what looked like a wrist hand injury. It's come out that that it's basically confirmed that it's broken or fractured. And it sounds like they're thinking 3 to 4 weeks, but I think it sounds like he'll be gone for the season. So I think that makes him a sell, and it's just about working out who you're selling to from now, I suppose.
And of the options we have, Tubes, there are a couple of good ones, especially I know you don't own either Teddy or Turbo, neither do I, so I laugh not at you, but I laugh in solidarity with you. They're both obviously great options, and there will be people out there potentially who don't own both of those guys, or sorry, one of the two. There's not many like you and I, Tubes, who don't own either. The other option is Kalyn Ponga for the Newcastle Knights. So which one of those three are you looking at bringing in this week?
Ponga, I think I mentioned earlier, I think just for the price for me, because it means I can get Lomax, and it's Walsh to Ponga and then like a KPP to Lomax, so a couple of upgrades realistically.
Who are you going to do to Lomax?
KPP.
Okay, gotcha.
So I think that makes the most logical sense for my team. But if cash was less of a factor, I'd probably rank them Teddy 1, and then, yeah, it's tough. I'd sort of flip a coin between Ponga and Turbo, but probably Turbo 2, Ponga 3, if they were all the same amount of money. Yeah, but it's a bit of a coin flip. And obviously, as you said earlier, with the potential Teddy resting, do they rest Turbo? I certainly, like on the weekend, Turbo got 121, and obviously I'm a non-owner. But when they went up by what they went up against the Raiders, and if they do the same, like if I'm Seabold, I'm just taking Turbo off. Like just they need to preserve him. Like that the only way they make an actual finals, grand final run is if he's fully fit and firing. So if they can get a lead, then surely he's a chance of having a rest. But that's just – so, it's a bit of a – they're all three great options, but I think I'd still lean Teddy, Turbo, Ponga in that order if money wasn't a problem.
Tubes, Anthony Seibold does not care that you chose to lay Tommy Trbojevic in Supercoach.
Yeah, obviously. But he should care about the fact that he has the – you know, the most injury-prone hamstrings in all of NRL, and he's also has the best, what is it, the biggest win-loss percentage based on when he's in the team or not. And so I'd be, yeah, there's a few things he should be caring about a little bit more than my Supercoach team.
But you wouldn't have that opinion if you owned Tom Trbojevic. Like, you wouldn't even be bringing it up. You wouldn't be putting it into existence.
I would have that opinion. I just wouldn't be bringing it up. He should be having a rest.
All right. Well, speaking of resting, I'm going to use that as a segue, Tubes.
Lang Miller, veers to the right, inside.
Oh!
Bateman! Bateman! Yes! Yes! Canberra!
We're going to move into something a little bit different for this week. And we're going off the fact that this week the Brisbane Broncos have the bye. They're not a very highly owned team, especially after Payne went down a couple of weeks ago and most people jumped off. So we are going to do a bit of a sit versus start segment this week. And what we've done is we've gone through the highest owned Supercoach players in the top 5% of Supercoach. And we're just going to have a discussion with these guys on whether or not you would sit them or start them. I think a lot of Supercoaches have 20, 21, 22 really good playable options coming into this round, and they have some tough calls to make. So we're going to try and give a little bit of analysis there. Just to start off with, Tubes, we agreed that we're not going to talk about the really obvious ones. Like, we're not going to waste people's time with Nathan Cleary. We're not going to waste people's time with Dave Fifita against the Dragons or Ruben Garrick against the Warriors. We're really just trying to stick to those guys.
Any fullback.
Yeah, exactly. Any fullback. We're just sticking to those guys who might be a realistic option for people to sit this week and who are the right guys to do it with. So let's start with the first one. He's owned by 74.5% of the top 5%, and it's Eli Katoa playing against the Penrith Panthers. He's one, Tubes, that I think you might think I'm a little bit crazy, but I have 22 pretty good, like, keeper-level options I could play this week, and Ellie is a chance of missing out for me just because of that tough matchup against Penrith. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think you are crazy because I think he's just the proven out-and-out one of the gun back rowers. He's got such a good floor, and regardless of playing Penrith, he's still got that attacking upside. So I just think he's an almost guarantee to be in my 17 each and every week for the run home.
I think the other thing that helps his case is he's the right edge back row for the Storm. And am I correct, Tubes, in saying that it's that Penrith left edge that has struggled defensively that has Isaac Tungo sitting on there? That's been a little bit like it's been leaky in terms of Penrith Panthers standards.
Yeah, no, that's their right edge, and so yes, Ellie Katoa's on the right.
He plays the right for the Storm. Yeah.
Yeah. So Tungo's on the right as well.
Ah, okay.
But in saying that, I think Scott Sorensen.
Yeah,
and on Martin. The left. Who was?
No, they're both. Maverick Guire and Liam Henry are the two starting back roles for Penrith this week. So it's
going to be Maverick Guire and McLean, not known defensive stalwarts or anything like that.
Hmm. I still think the chances of him getting an attacking stat this week are obviously significantly reduced against the best defence in the comp, and I think the most likely outcome is he scores around that 60 mark. I think I probably play him, but he's someone I'm considering to sit this week. The next one, Tubes, we're going to talk about, owned by 72.7% of the top 5%. It is Kale Ito going up against the Newcastle Knights for the Cronulla Sharks. Tubes, you and I both sold Kale Ito a couple of weeks ago and I think regret it. I sold him for the Hammer, who hasn't gone above 60 since, and I don't think Kale Ito has gone under 90 since I sold him. Who'd you sell Ito to?
Big bad Brian Tottle.
Oh, that sounds a bit better.
I paid a premium for him. So, but yeah, hasn't done too badly from a scoring perspective. I just sold Ero out just before he kicked on, I suppose. I actually started scoring some tries, and he's looked unbelievable. With the centre wing options available this week, though, I probably wouldn't play him. I know they're playing the Knights. I think he's going to be matching up against Dane Gagai on that left edge.
I thought Ero played. Yeah, he's the left center for the Sharks, isn't he?
Yeah. So
yeah, okay.
Gagai on the right. I think I'd sit Ero. Yeah. I mean that's a very tough one, but I think the next one on our list, which is Greg Marju, if I had to do a head-to-head comparison and you had both of those, I'd play Ero over Marju. But I think Ero's probably, for me, I think most people are probably having five guns back rowers this week with the Broncos on the bye, at least four. And I don't know if Ero would be in most people's top six center wings this week. I think he's a sit with the
match. It's hard though. When he's in that form, it's hard. I think I'd be trying to find a way to play. Yeah. And he just seems like he's getting more and more confident with his attacking role with the Sharks as well. And potentially with the dominant halves out, he might just be getting a little bit more early ball and just like a go for it, mate. So yeah.
Could be the opposite though. Like, I mean, weird game against the Titans. Like could just be bad ball. If the Knights show up at all in defence as well.
Well, you mentioned Greg Marju, Tubes, who's 64.5%, and he is obviously playing for the Knights against the Sharks this week. Really interesting one last week. I don't know how closely you watched that game that the Knights played in. I did watch it quite closely because I brought in Kalen Ponga and captained him. And it was really fascinating to see Kalen Ponga sweeping out to the right consistently and dominating out to the right. And they didn't really set too many attacking plays going out towards their left edge and Greg Marju. I'm interested, Tubes, do you think that's going to be a sign of things to come for the Knights, or is it maybe that they just identified a weakness last week and that was to attack through the right and that this week it could be back to the normal sweeping out the left?
Like, I don't know how much credit you give Aidan O'Brien for his coaching strategy, but isn't the Tigers' left edge the worst like defensive edge in the comp? Like, so I think it seems like probably a pretty simple strategy. I I don't mind the left edge this week coming up against the Sharks' right edge. Again, Jesse Ramien and Katoa and whoever's defending in the halves out there, or how that's going to work this week. But yeah, like, I mean, again, like I just said, I'd play Iro over Marju. So Marju's probably, you know, your sixth center wing, and depending on how the rest of your team's looking, I think he's a fine play, but probably on the precipice. I'd be leaning against not playing, most likely.
All right, so that's a sit. I am going to play Marju this week as an owner, and I think that is because I also own Ponga, and I just like the idea of pairing them up together, because chances are if Ponga goes big, there is a decent chance that Marju's going to as well. So for me, as a Ponga owner, I think I just have to team those two up, play them together, and hope they both explode. If I didn't own Ponga, I'd be much more tempted to sit Marju this week. Let's skip over one player in our list, Tubes. We can come back to him, but I want to stick with this game because it's another Cronulla Sharks player from this matchup. Britton Nikera, who had a great game last week and was actually getting involved with a little bit of attacking flair as well. What are you thinking, Tubes, of Nikera?
I think he's a play. They played the Knights this week. I think he's got the attacking upside against them. The early ball without Trindle being the dominant half on the left edge, it's potentially a better thing for Nikera. And he's got a good enough base that you know he's going to get mid-40s without any attacking stats, and he's got the potential for, you know, one or two attacking stats like he had on the weekend.
Yeah, I'd be wary. Trindle named in the Chris's man, Trindle, named in the extended squad for the Sharks this week too, so there might be a chance he comes into that lineup late, which could impact Nikera negatively.
I've got Nikera and Marju, and I would start Marju over Nikera if Trindle plays. I think it's that big of an impact.
I'm a sit for Nikita. I'm going to sit him this week. I think that there's a decent chance Trindle plays, and even if he doesn't, you've got to sit someone. And I think for me, he's probably one of the guys with less upside. Let's jump back up to Dealbags, Dylan Brown, who is 58% owned. They play the Roosters this week. Tubes, do we need to spend as much time on Dylan Brown? For me, he's a pretty clear sit at the moment compared to some of these other guys.
I'm starting him in my side this week. Roos's defense hasn't been that good the last couple of weeks. I think he's got a pretty good floor. 54 on the weekend against the Panthers, 90 the week before against the Warriors, 69 the week before that against the Storm. I think he's probably a pretty safe option. Against the Roosters defense that's let in 30 plus the last two games they played. So I'm playing him.
So is that because you have to play him as a starting 5'8", or are you playing? No. Oh, no, because you have Munster.
Yeah.
So you're choosing to play him over someone like Greg Marju?
At the moment, yes.
I don't like it.
I'm also choosing to play him over our next man, which is Jerome Hughes, as the second halfback on the bench as well, playing against the Panthers this week, who I think is a sit.
I can get around that more. Jerome Hughes is 50% owned, and like we discussed earlier, yeah, he's not the dominant go-to man with Grant coming back post-Origin, Munster coming back into the team. So is Hughes just a definite sit? You won't even consider him this week? He's out?
No, not playing Hughes. Yeah, few decisions. Nikera or Dylan Brown. Like it sounds like you're sitting both, but
probably yeah.
Maybe I'm not as deep as you, but I'm playing one of them.
Yeah, well, I've still got a couple of guys on the list that we can discuss who you might convince me that Dylan Brown and Nikera are better to play over. But are you as surprised as me that he's 50% owned, Jerome Hughes? Like that blew me away that he's so highly owned amongst the top players.
He just went on that great run after over Origin, and there's been no like the Storm have had a great run the last few weeks. He just hasn't been putting it together on the scoreboard. Like it's just been hard to find a reason to sell him.
Yeah. Well, Casey McLean's the next one, Tubes. 43% owned, and they're coming against the Melbourne Storm. He's coming off, a 21, unless it changed after updates. It wasn't a great score on the weekend. Is he the most obvious sit player we've mentioned so far?
Yeah, he's a good depth player, but I think you sit him against the Storm.
Against the Storm, if they had a really weak matchup, I'd consider playing him for sure. Like, I still think there's that chance he can have a week where he goes off and scores a couple of tries. But against the Storm, I'm very, very comfortable sitting Casey McLean. Last one, Tubes. We're sticking with guys who are above 40% owned. And the last man who fits the bill on this list who you might consider a sit is Lachie Galvin. And Tubes, I'm currently playing Galvin, but he's the one that I'm playing that I'm finding it the toughest to make a decision on. And I understand that he might not have the pedigree of some of the guys you've mentioned, but they're playing Souths, and Souths don't look great and are conceding points pretty much at will at the moment. And Lachie Galvin has been playing a very dominant both sides of the ruck role. Am I crazy for considering playing Galvin over Dylan Brown and over Nikita?
I don't think so. I think, as you said, like the last month, when people started saying he was potentially dropping off, I think last time you mentioned today, the last time they played Souths, he went 104, and that was only 4 weeks ago. And since then, so he went 104, 41, 82, 77. So he must have a four-round average, certainly in the mid to high 70s high average, and it really does feel like since that round 20 he's taken that dominant half role. So I think if I owned Galvin, I'd probably play him over Dylan Brown, like you just mentioned. But yeah, it doesn't feel like a easy decision. But yeah, I think he's probably a play. I don't have him, but I'd probably play him.
All right, well, that brings us to the end of this week's Sit v Start. So I think there's plenty for people to consider, and it's going to be pretty exciting because that's going to result in some pretty big swings. So there's, I think the last few weeks has been a lot of similar teams because people have only had 18, 19 guys to pick from at most. But this week, yeah, there's going to be some squads running deep with some really tough calls to make. So it's going to be very interesting in that regard this week. Tubes, I've got one more segment for you, and this one is a bit of a surprise segment. So what I'm going to do is I am going to explain you the rules, and then we're going to pause the pod for 5 minutes because it would be very boring for the people at home to listen to us think for 5 minutes in silence. So I'm going to explain the rules. Then we're going to pause. We're going to do a little bit of research on something, and then we're going to come back, and it'll be like no time at all has passed for the listeners. You good to go?
Sure.
We have 4 rounds to go, Tubes. It was this time last year that a couple of savvy super coaches out there, including Matt Ricks, brought in Stubby Cooler, Canda Cola, Toltau Cooler. And he was a massive swing guy on the run home. He was a huge pod who people took a swing on, and he completely changed their seasons and drove their rankings up. Tubes, we are going to pause for 5 minutes, and you are going to choose a player who you think could be the cooler of the last 4 rounds of the year. The only thing I'm going to put on that is it has to be someone who is 3% or less owned by the top 5% of super coaches.
So it's like a pod of the week, but pod of the last 4 weeks.
Yeah, I don't just want it to be a one-week proposition. Looking at someone who you think is a really good option who could make a big swing for the run home.
Yeah, I don't mind it. Do I have to take 5 minutes, or can I just tell you who it is off right now?
Well, I haven't looked yet, so I was hoping to have a chance to look. I didn't expect to be that quick. I got nothing. I wanted to have a look. I purposely didn't look so it would be fresh for both you and me coming into this game.
Well, I'm ready to go.
All right, Tubes, 5 minutes is up, and I think we both found that harder than maybe what we expected. Pretty challenging to try and find that ultra pod who could turn someone's season for this last run home and get them climbing up the rankings. Tubes, you haven't told me who yours is going to be. You've thrown out a lot of names as we were talking through that. Who have you gone with as your official pick?
So I've gone with a man with the run. They play the Eels into the Titans, into the Raiders, into the Bunnies last 4 games of the year. He's currently owned by 2 teams in the top 5%. And that's New South Wales and Roosters centre Joseph Suoli'i, 603K, I think, massive pod option with the potential to go large to finish off the season.
Not bad, and there's absolutely no chance he's getting a rest before he heads over to rugby union, is there? They're going to eke out every single little bit of him that they can.
Well, just to add to it, he finished off last year his last five games, he went 84, 75, 108, 128, 66. So he's known for a hot finish to the season.
Absolutely known.
Big sample size.
Chibs, I've got one, but it almost feels like cheating. So I've got a backup one in case you're not happy with the one that I have. The one that I've gone with is Dylan Edwards, who's 890K, and he is only owned by 16 super coaches in the top 5%. I don't think I need to really go into too much detail about why he would be a good pickup. I think there's also history there that he plays really well when Cleary rests, and I think Cleary's a big chance of at least one rest on the way home, and Edwards would take over the goal kicking in that case as well. So they got Melbourne this week, tough game, but they finish off the year against the Raiders, then the Rabbitohs, then the Gold Coast Titans. And Tubes, this will be one that I'm going to put my money where my mouth is, because I'm actually going to bring in Dylan Edwards next week. I've got Scotty Drinkwater, who the Cowboys have the bye next week. If Dylan Edwards gets through the game this week and is fit and firing, I'm going to bring him in against the Raiders next week.
So I think it's a good option for you because you've got Drinkwater. As a standard bloke that's going to turn around other people's seasons, though, even if he goes unbelievable and averages over 110 for the run home, he's still not turning around your season versus the other fullbacks. Like, I think that's sort of the only thing that's against him is his upside versus the three fullbacks we've talked about isn't great enough compared to the center wing's upside versus not playing like a Marju or something like that. In that gap that you're looking for your overall team score.
That's a really fair call and a little bit selfish of me. I wasn't thinking from the average man. I was thinking of my own team. Well, that's why I picked another guy who, because like Dylan Edwards is a cheat code. If he was fit and he'd been playing, he wouldn't qualify. He'd be in more than that 3% of teams. So it did seem a little bit unfair. The one that I went as my bit of an out there one is Jason Saab from the Seagulls, and maybe because I had Cooler on my mind and that Seagulls connection, but he's 530K. They have the Warriors this week. Then next week they play against the West Tigers at a sunny Sunday afternoon at Leichhardt Oval, where you know that Tommy's going to be up and about and feeding some nice ball to Jason Saab. Then they finish off the year against the Dogs and the Sharks. So Saab would be my one who's my big upside man who is reachable. He's only 530K, available at centre wing, and only in 126 teams in the top 5%. That's my man.
I think it's another one you should put your money where your mouth is.
I'm not putting any Saab money in my mouth. Saab's steering. He's keeping well clear of my mouth. I'm definitely not bringing him in.
All right.
We're done, Tubes.
Yeah, we're done. Good pod. Cheers, McGraw.
See you, mate. Have a good night.
You beauty.